Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Been an interesting day. Good news for our Atlanta United, and we'll tell you more about that coming up. Hawks win last night. Mike and I got a chance to go down there. Man, by the way, I love State Farm. It's so cool. The new big screen, I mean, there's not a bad seat, obviously. And they're not done. You know that. Right. They're still putting stuff in there. And but it's a cool venue. And I got to tell you, man, I think a lot of people, if you're going to some of those concerts or whatever during the Super Bowl week, you're going to get a chance to check it out. Maybe you've not been. But it was a good crowd last night, man, for Oklahoma City. We'll talk about that as well, because I know, you know, you see this team compete, and then some people think, all right, well, maybe we will be a playoff team. Shh, no. We don't want to do that.
Yeah, man, it was tough not to get, and we didn't. We just dove into the mood and the vibe. You were going bananas, watching them going up against one of the better teams in the league. You know, you're seeing Paul George and Russell Westbrook out there, and look at our team do their thing, man. It was a blast. So, yes, we must get to Zion.
Must get to Zion.
Okay, because we get it, okay? We know there's a couple of guys on Duke would look good in a Hawks uniform, but last night in those powder blue throwbacks, all part of the 50th anniversary, what a great vibe last night at State Farm. Great to meet the guys from Haviland. We had a good time with our clients who spend money with us, and we appreciate that.
Thank you, guys.
These guys, when Dukes and Bell first started back in 14, these guys got on board for our ill-fated road trip to New Orleans. Remember, they underwrote that bad boy.
Okay. Yeah, listen, they did a great job.
I mean, we won the game. We just didn't make the playoffs that year.
We did.
I mean, you got mad at me because I was driving too fast, but...
You were only going 125.
You know what? You pipe down. It's a statute of limitations in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. We made it safely, though. But, yeah, big shout-out to Haviland and enjoying the game last night with those guys. More about that coming up. Real quick, before we get to the top three, is this worthy of the top three, or do we want to get into this conversation, this baseball thing?
Well, let me just ask you, because, I mean, it's nothing's happening. So, I mean, if a tree falls in the forest without anyone hearing, you'll get the idea. But let me just throw this at you, because I put it out on Twitter earlier. And technically it's a story, because Major League Baseball's free agency is wide open right now. The hot stove league, you know, it used to mean there was actually conversation, and it's been a warm stove at best. I know that the Braves have made the move with Josh Donaldson, and we've seen some other names, but not the biggest names. How is Manny Machado and Bryce Harper not signed, and we're just a few weeks away from the Super Bowl now? Is it collusion, or is it all the owners now in the last two or three years finally deciding through hook or crook, even the crazy Yankees and the Mets who always make bad decisions, Dodgers, Red Sox, et al., finally saying we got to be fiscally responsible because these contracts have been getting out of hand? What is it?
I think that's the case, Mike. I really believe that, and again, you're never going to hear any of these teams state this. No owner's going to come out and talk about it. But, you know, we heard that the market for Bryce Harper was going to be, what, $400 million, right? Remember? Oh, he's going to get $400. And all Braves fans went, oh, well, there's no way we can get involved with that. I actually don't think that's going to be the number. Now, Bryce is still going to make a lot of money. But you're telling me Manny Machado, you talk about under market value.
I mean, this guy, you know, you're talking about the number one and number two free agents. And remember, last year you had a couple of guys. It was Jake Arrieta. He didn't get signed right until, like, it was – pitches and catches had already reported when the Phillies gave him his deal. And who am I forgetting? The Cubs made a bad decision. The pitcher from the Rangers.
Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish got a con. Of course, that didn't pan out. But that was also late in preseason and spring training already started.
Yeah.
So is it – I mean, it's great if baseball's doing it, because you can certainly argue that the salaries were getting out of control. But how do they all get taken care of at the same time? I mean, it just, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but it sure sounds like the owners are all talking to each other.
It is weird, Mike, because here's the deal. You know what happens, right? These dominoes start to fall. And for example, let's just say Bryce Harper did get $400 million. Then Machado comes in and goes, well, he got $400 million. I'm right there. I mean, I need to be $380. You know that these discussions are being had. I also think, Mike, to be honest with you, a lot of this sabermetric stuff is coming into play. You know? When you talk about how healthy a guy is, and we haven't talked about this with Bryce Harper, but how many games you play per season, how effective you are in those games, how many at-bats you're going to get. And this is all the minutia of baseball, but you got guys in rooms crunching the numbers and saying, he's not worth this. He's worth $185 million. He's not worth $400 million.
Well, let me throw this at you before we get to the headlines. If this goes on further, does the value or does it because of a guy like Scott Boros, the number is still the number and it doesn't go down? I mean, does it ever become a part where Liberty Media and Alex Anthopoulos are, we know that they won't spend, but if Alex could go to them and say, look, Terry McGuirk and company, hey, come on. It's getting where we actually, you know, could get a few dollars off this deal and get them in here.
Yeah, I think, and I said this, you know, you see it in the NBA now. I know the money is guaranteed in baseball, and that's why you do the long-term deals. That's why you've seen 7, 10 years, which is insane. You're not going to ever have a player live up to the performance of a 10-year contract when you pay them at age 25, Mike, and they're 35, and let's just say they stay there the whole time.
Right.
It's not going to happen. But I think you're going to see less years, maybe with more money. So, not necessarily 400, but what if I gave you half of the years and half of that money? It becomes more of an attractive deal. It's interesting. I really do think that you're right and you're on to something, but nobody's going to admit that in Major League Baseball.
All right. I mean, you know, at some point in basketball, I mean, you've got a salary cap. As you guys know, there's no salary cap in baseball, but teams all have a budget from size of market and kind of TV package deal. We're reminded constantly about the Braves and carrying debt, which nobody cares about. Look, I got no illusions. I got no illusions about the Braves getting in the mix for Bryce Harper. I wish they would. I don't understand why people think it's a bad idea because you haven't spent any money on the bullpen yet. You're keeping basically the same guys we had here. We may go get another arm to be like another Anibal Sanchez inning eater, but it's not like the Braves, other than Josh Donaldson and Brian McCann, have done anything.
No, not at all. 404-741-0929, that is our number. It is also our text line, guys, if you want to get in on that conversation. I just think that that's why these guys haven't been signed. Guys, we're a few weeks away from spring training.
I mean, pitchers and catchers report in like, what, 5 weeks?
And you've got two of the biggest market offseason free agents, not so, why? It is interesting. With that, man, let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three.
Three.
The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it all?
All right, let's start with the update on Tack McKinley. And again, it's good news. He's home, Mike. Reports out there. D. Orlando Ledbetter had it. Various reports about the fact that, you know, after meeting with police out there in L.A., he was released. There were no charges filed. I know this is one of those weird stories that you hear and you go, what's going on?
So, I mean, we had people, you know, asking us, and we know as much as you guys do. We're reading the same blogs and websites you're doing. I mean, we just were sitting here spitballing, and we don't want to guess because it's not fair to Tack. We like the guy. He's an emotional kid. We saw that from the moment he became part of the organization, but I don't know. Was there a party? Was it one guy? Was it a girl? Was it somebody who knows the guy? Is it somebody who doesn't know him? Who doesn't know how he acts? I don't know. All I know is the LAPD kicked the tires on it. They said, you can go home.
I like the fact that, you know, nothing came of this. And I'm talking about with law enforcement officials.
Right.
That's a good news. The other side of this is a serious issue in our country. And especially when you start talking about mental health. And, you know, Dan Quinn put out a statement. But we are not going to speculate. We haven't done that all day, and I'm not going to start now, but we're trying to fill you in on what we know. And I think the thing that we need to know is that Tack McKinley's okay and that he's back home and that hopefully we'll find out more information. Guys, but to be honest with you, maybe we won't. And I'm just hoping, Mike, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we support Tack and whatever this was. It may have been something, but it might not have been anything. And that's the part about this
right,
where you start jumping around and going, oh, this guy, I bet this is what happened.
Yeah.
Don't
and
do that.
And there's a lot of nonsense on social media and even on, you know, some sort of semi-reputed websites that are saying, that, well, you know, you look at a guy like Simeon Rice. Who knows what his situation is? Simeon Rice is a great pass rusher who had depression issues at the end of his career and has got a great life, you know, producing movies and stuff afterwards. So, I mean, let's, you know, there's no reason to project. We don't know. I know where everybody wants to in this world we live in. Fill in the blanks. We don't have any information. We can't.
We can't. Hey, story number two. We talked about the Hawks, man, and it was a good win last night. They put up a bunch of points. If you were at the game, 146 points. They beat OKC, and the reason why it's a big deal is because OKC is the third best team in the West right now. But I want you to hear from Trey. Before hearing from him, hear this three-pointer, because I thought this was a big moment in the game in the fourth quarter.
Trey dribbling up. He shoots a long three. He's got it! Trey Young! Trey Young with the three! And the Hawks lead 132-115. I mean, that took big ones to shoot that one.
Ha-ha! Attachments!
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, it was just as we said to start the show. Great vibe last night. We can still have a lot of coaches DNPs later in the year after the All-Star break to get back down there in that bottom three. And I know that, you know, whether it's RJ or Zion or whoever you covet, We know what we're trying to do here. But the good news is John Collins. How about Bembry last night?
He was big.
Bembry,
he was big.
If you didn't see the last 3 or 4 minutes, he's stealing balls and going, I'll just take it to the rack and throwing it down right there, right in front of Russell Westbrook.
Here's what John Collins said in the locker room after the match last night, after the game.
Inside the locker room, I feel like, or at least I think we feel like, we're not that far off. Like, a win like this tonight proves it. Like I said, I think we have enough firepower just to do what we want to do on both ends of the court. It's just a matter of us knowing what we have to do as players, as individuals, and coming together as a team and trying to figure that out. I don't think we're that far behind at all.
Okay. JC had 26 last night, but Brent Bembry, Mike, across the board, 8 boards, 6 assists. You mentioned the steals. And also Alex Lynn, 24 points for the big fella. You talked about it. So it was a complete team effort. I think this team competes, and that's what I like to see. I don't expect them to, again, win the East or be a 2 seed, but I like the fact that they go out and compete. They did this the other night against Milwaukee. They lost. Milwaukee's probably the second best or the best team in the East. They lost by 3 on the road at Toronto when they had a chance to win. They compete. I like that.
Yeah, man. And well, we've seen some great moments already at State Farm. That home opener we talked about where you're down against Luka. And look, Luka's going to be the measuring stick until we get the draft pick and we see how this all plays out. But, I mean, I just – 2 things. I would hope the national media at some point – and look, we've only won – we're like 6.5, 7 games out of the finalist seed. So we know what John Collins is. But as best you guys can to stuff the ballot box digitally – what is that? Is it already wrapped up, Squid, for the All-Star balloting? I think we got a few more days on that. But – let's help out John Collins, man. Let the rest of the country know what we got.
I'm with that. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our top 3 at 6. Story number 3 has to do with college football. Now, you're going to hear Dari Noka coming up here in less than 10 minutes from SEC Network, and we get into this conversation about all these quarterbacks transferring. And it's kind of been fluid, right? It's been one of these things. We talked about Justin Fields, and then it happened. Fields goes to Ohio State. Now we find out Jalen Hurts is going to Oklahoma. Are you surprised he picked Oklahoma, by the way?
No, I mean, he looks at the offense. I think, number one, he wants to show what he's got. And maybe he wants to get to the NFL. And you look at 2 Heisman Trophy winners, and now that Kyler Murray's declared, he's Taylor. I think he's – people underestimate how good a thrower he can be.
I agree.
You know, and I think it's also a matter of how Alabama was calling its game. Saban wants to be relatively conservative. Kiffin moved on. So the style of the play calling changed a little bit. But, I mean – to call him a game manager, that's nonsense.
No, I'm with you. So with that move, we hear about the kid from Ohio State transferring, Tate Martell, who's going to Miami. He's going to the U.
Yeah, Tate, who was saying, hey, don't swing and miss second time around, pal. I'm Mr. Buckeye, and I'm not going. What's that? Justin's coming? Okay, I'm out of here. So Tate Martell goes to Miami, and he had a picture of 2 other players from the same school that Snoop's kid played at in Las Vegas.
It's Bishop.
Newman? Bishop Gorman.
Gorman.
Right. Get your bishops
yes.
right.
Bishop Gorman.
And the bishop can always go that way in chess. But anyway, the point being that he did this, I think Miami Athletics put it together where they got this thing that says Las Vegas to Miami. And people are in Ohio State fans are lighting them up, obviously. Saying, okay, you're going to go for a hardship because your offensive coordinator is now your head coach.
That's weak
That's
sauce.
Gonna be, now, we quick got. Sauce. Now, some would also say that the NCAA is now handing out the candy when it comes to these hardship waivers. I don't know if Tate Martell is going to be able to play this year. That seems like a bit of a stretch. 2020 might be his start for the Hurricanes.
Here's what's funny, guys. So Jalen Hurts goes to Oklahoma. Remember, you had Baker Mayfield, Heisman, Kyler Murray this year, Heisman. And now you've got an opportunity to see what Jalen Hurts is going to do there. Deion Sanders went on ESPN. He was on with Carrie Champion. She asked him about the Kyler Murray situation because, you know, a lot of people are saying he's making the wrong decision going to the NFL.
If I was in his shoes, I'm picking up the baseball bat, and I'm not looking back.
Why?
Because that's just for me. Like, I sometimes I still have regret that I didn't give it more. But, you know, I got a gold jacket in the closet. I'm straight. You know, but I wish I would have given it more. But for Kyler, that's tough at his position, and I don't think he realized the ridicule that you go through once you declare and say, I'm going to be a football player. Now people start talking about your height, your size, what you can't do. He hadn't dealt with that yet.
Yeah.
I think he could do whatever he wants to do. He's that kind of athlete.
Now, I want to bring this up because that's an interesting comment from Deion. But Mike, we talked about Jaden Hazelwood yesterday, right, with the comments about he felt like he was misled a little bit by UGA staff.
He's realizing at a young age that this is a business. And I think, he's by the way, Jalen Hurts will be thrown to Jaden Hazelwood, too. How about that?
So there's a report out, and I'm looking at this right now, that 5-star Oklahoma quarterback signee Spencer Rattler talked to Coach Riley, Lincoln Riley, And Riley told me that he's not taking any transfer quarterbacks anytime soon. And now Jalen Hurts is headed to Oklahoma.
And the ultimate irony there, also Austin Kendall, they're blocking from transferring to West Virginia. So he tells a kid they're not taking transfers, and Jalen Hurts goes, I'd like to go to Oklahoma. By the way, Deion, great baseball player. I mean, he was certainly solid early in his career with the Bravos, career hitter 263. You know, Bo Jackson was obviously the most successful to do that. But, you know, Deion does talk about that a lot, that, you know, wishing he could have had the opportunity to really focus on it.
It is Dukes and Bell, man. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
server. Tip your server, man. S-E-R-V-E-R.
That's right. They're working for tips, everybody. I'm sorry. I sound like I was in a certain type of club. Server goes to 72881.
Who's coming to the stage?
Amber. Hey, man, 72881. Server, your last chance today to score $1,000 with our national signing bonus contest. If you see a phone call, I would answer it this hour.
All right, Dari Noka, SEC Network, next. Right now, let's say hello to Dari Noka, friend of the show. Last time we saw him, guys, we're getting ready for the SEC Championship. You watch him on SEC Network. And, Dari, let's start with the news of the day, man, talking about your alma mater. By the way, you guys won your bowl game. Texas did. How you been?
Oh, shots fired.
You know I had to get you.
That's all good. You know I don't go in expecting our guys to win bowl games. What do you think we're talking about here? Come on now.
Dari in Oklahoma.
You cannot be a Sooner and not have a hellacious dose of reality. You kind of got to know who you're dealing with. You know?
But the news today, though, I think Sooner fans are excited. We get word that Jalen Hurts is transferring to Oklahoma. A lot of people saying, all right, Lincoln Riley gets to reload after losing, you know, Kyler Murray. And all of a sudden now, Jalen Hurts is going to be in contention maybe for a Heisman with Tua and Trevor Lawrence. Who knows? But he goes to Oklahoma where they throw it around.
This is it is big news. And I remember hearing 2 months ago, you know, that there was going to be interest in this, at least from OU's perspective. And, you know, it made sense. And I think on the surface, I think OU people, well, I know OU people are thrilled. National championship, you'll associate him with Nick Saban and all that, and everybody's, and I think it's a really good get for OU. But I don't think that this isn't going to be easy for Jalen. And I don't believe Lincoln Riley is assuring him anything. They've got the number one kid in high school coming in, Spencer Rattler, but now he won't be there till summer, so it will be difficult for Spencer to get where he needs to be. They got a dude from Texas that's really good. Tanner Mordecai is his name, and he's a dual-threat guy. Like, if I know Lincoln at all, and I think I do, there will be a competition Jalen will have to win. That would not have been the case, in my opinion, at Miami, and it certainly wouldn't have been the case at Maryland. So I think he's setting him up for the highest level or the highest ceiling of potential success. But I also think that he's got a little bit of work to do, especially as a passer, to just slide into that offense and tear it up.
Yeah, it's Dari Noka. He's an Oklahoma guy. Don't make him a bad person. Joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, Dari, the thing is, you're right. You go from two back-to-back, you know, Heisman Trophy winners to a guy that kind of in the Nick Saban mold is a more athletic but game manager. I know it sounds like the dirty word to call a guy that's won as much as he has.
I think that's probably fair. You know, the one unknown here, you know, we all know that he was not a great passer before. But then we saw him replaced Tua in the SEC championship game, and he made throws that, frankly, we hadn't really seen him make on a consistent basis until then. So how much did the work with Dan Enos help him? And is he truly a different passer, a vastly improved passer, than the Jalen Hurts we saw for the first two seasons? If he is, look out. Now, he is not Kyler Murray, and he is not Baker Mayfield. For all of the things those guys did so well, I think, honestly, both were underrated as passers. Which seems crazy. They won Heisman trophies, but I don't think they get enough credit, especially Kyler, for the kind of arm, the kind of accuracy he has. This isn't Jalen. Even if Jalen's better than he was, this still is not Jalen. So, you know, I want to like kind of pump the brakes a little on here comes the third straight Heisman trophy and playoff spot. First, he's got to win the job. Second, he's got to show that he's a better passer than we really remember Jalen as.
Dari Noka from SEC Network joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys. Dari talking college football with us. And, you know, I want to shift gears and just talk about the portal, because Mike and I spent a lot of time over the last few weeks talking about this with our own Jalen, not Jalen Hurts, but our own Justin Fields transferring to Ohio State And we spent a lot of time on this. And people here in Georgia, obviously, you know, the new rules, the portal. And then we see this movement with you know, Jalen and now, you know, Tate Martell. This is changing recruiting, isn't it? Does it take away a little bit from the recruiting aspect when you know some of these guys are going to end up somewhere else and how the rules are changing now?
Well, I mean, like, you know, guys, this has happened for years. It just hasn't had a place where we can all dive in or certain people can dive in and then publicize the names that are in it. The portal didn't exist, but quarterbacks not wanting to compete with others or sit behind others, transferring is nothing new. We just have a different element to it now. Now we know who's in it. Now we know who's looking. It wasn't just one day where so-and-so announces he's going to transfer to blankety-blank university, and we're like, oh, really? No, didn't even know he was looking. Now we know who's looking. Now it makes it more intriguing. Now it feels like free agency. Like, you know, the best offseason storyline in every sport is always free agency. Now we have free agency in college football. You know, the mindset of a quarterback not wanting to sit, not wanting to compete, that's just coming with the generation that we're dealing with right now. Nobody wants to compete. Nobody wants to sit. Everybody just wants to jump in and play because there's a sense of a ridiculous entitlement that they should just get to do that.
Right.
Well, that's not how it works. Now they have a place to go. They have a place to let coaches find them, call them, and be re-recruited one more time because it makes them feel good. Called a portal. The idea is nothing new. I just think the portal changes, you know, how much the public knows, which is great for college football, by the way, because this has been so damn fun to follow.
Puts it out there. And, you know, Dari Nelka joins us from SEC Network at ESPN here on the WadeFord.com hotline. But, you know, Dari, some says it devalues now the importance of signing day when you just touched on it, this whole subculture of the ego-stroked five-star quarterback. You know, are we going to spend a little less attention on this? Because now, you know, guy can go there, find out he doesn't laugh at the same jokes as the coach, and, you know, now he's in the portal.
Well, you know, signing day is, I think the beauty of signing day, very few programs in signing day ever get really, really excited, and fan bases ever get really, really excited about the elite quarterback, because there are only so many of those to go around. Signing day is where you build your lines of scrimmage. Signing day is where you want to see if you can stockpile a few really highly touted wide receivers. You know, signing day is our defensive secondary sucked. How many, you know, how many top 100 safeties and corners did we get? I think that's kind of what signing day is. And signing day is also for the fans, where does my program rank against my rivals' program or against the programs in my conference? I don't think so, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't necessarily think signing day is all about the quarterback anymore. The portal is all about the quarterback.
Right.
The transfers are all about the quarterback. But, yeah, maybe the only thing about it is when you're going over your favorite team's class or your coach and you're going over your class, maybe you just don't picture in your mind any quarterback coming in being in your uniform in 2 or 3 years. It's always going to be a possibility. There can only be one that plays, and they're the highest profile, potentially highest ego position in football. So maybe a little bit, but yeah, I don't think it, I don't really follow the recruiting. I'm not a recruiting guy. I'd rather just wait and watch them in college, to be honest with you. But I realize there are so many people that are big recruiting people. Mm-hmm. I still think they'll get plenty excited about it.
Dari, let's talk about Clemson and where they are. It's Dari Nelka, guys, on the line talking college football with us here on the show. And you know, obviously they dominate the championship game and you want to elevate them. People want to elevate their program and say, oh, it's the premier program now. I still have Alabama right there just because of the longevity of what Nick Saban has done. But where is Clemson? I mean, are they there? They're equal now? I mean, are they the second best program in the country based on what, you know, Dabo and company have done over the last 5 years?
I think at this point in time they are 1 and 1A. And I don't even care which one's 1 and which one's 1A. I think I would put them in their own category together as the two elite of the elite programs in college football. They've each won two championships, one in the last 3 years, one in the last 4 years. I mean, these programs own college football right now. They absolutely own the sport of college football. They own big game performances in college football. This is they're similar. They're the same program. Yeah, Alabama may have had a few more ESPN one, you know, or 300 guys, whatever. They both have phenomenal staffs, even if Alabama's rotates a little bit more than maybe they like. They both have incredible depth. They're both solidly built up front on both lines of scrimmage. They both have incredible quarterback play, and they're both destinations for the best players in high school football. And now they both
win championships, and they do them multiple, you know, and they'll win multiple championships in a short amount of time. These are the same program, and they are not going anywhere. Now, I got some Alabama fans mad at me because I said what many people have said, and I said it in the third quarter of the game. I said, we're seeing a dynasty come to an end, and we are. I mean, you can't have a dynasty, guys, if you lose two of the last three championship games to the same exact program. Like, by definition, they own you of late in these games.
Right.
You can't have a dynasty if you've got somebody that who has your number the way Clemson has Bama's in championship games. But they're the two best programs in football, and frankly, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Oregon, and anybody, or Georgia, they're all a step behind because these are 1 and 1A.
It's Dory Noka, guys, from SEC Network and ESPN here as we give you the Dog Report and some college football brought to you by Brightbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. You mentioned teams, you know, beating teams at their rivals. I mean, when does Georgia break through? How does Georgia get clutch against Alabama?
Well, they almost did. I mean, they've been so close the last two times that they've played them. I mean, Georgia's they will not truly break through as an elite of the elite, in my opinion, until they beat Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Until they win a national championship or another national championship, if you want to count, you know, what happened 4 decades ago. But this is
shot fired.
No, I mean, it's reality. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not firing my alma mater. We lose every big game. We're 0-6 in the last six championship BCS championship or playoff games we've had. Like, Oklahoma can't be considered in that same realm as Bama and Clemson, and Georgia can't either, but they're close. I mean, obviously they're right there. They're going to be having you can talk about your Longhorns beating Georgia, but don't tell me Georgia didn't have what happened against Alabama somewhere in the back of their head, right? You still get credit for the win.
Yes.
And that's great. But if you line them up 10 times on a neutral field in week 6 of a season, how many times you got Texas winning that thing?
Exactly.
Like, it's a good point. It's a good point. It is.
Georgia's close. I mean, Georgia's obviously close. We've watched enough football to know that.
Dory Noka joining us, guys. We're talking college football. And listen, he said it as we started the interview. The offseason now is intriguing for so many reasons. The portal thing, you know, obviously we've got another signing day coming up in February. But the way the season played out, you know, it's I can't wait till college football rolls back around. I'll be honest with you, because the idea is now that you're going to see some other teams that we haven't had a chance to see maybe compete. Notre Dame, real quick, I do want to mention this. They come to Georgia next year. They're going to have a daunting schedule, and everybody talked about maybe coaching changes. You don't see that, right? They're staying where they're not moving on from anybody.
Who, Notre Dame?
Yes.
Oh, goodness, no. This is the healthiest their program's been in 30 years. I think Notre Dame is
– because, Dory, the semifinal loss, you know, again, it makes people think that, all right, they're not where they should be.
Well, I tell you this, nobody had them running the table until that this year, I don't think. What are they, 2-3 years away, removed from a 4 or 5-win season?
Yep.
They've got a great quarter. They've got a great quarterback. They've got, like, most of their skill guys are coming back. You know, they reloaded the offensive line after losing two top 10 guys. Again, they're a step behind Bama and Clemson. There's no question. But I think Notre Dame's a very healthy program that's in that second level. And it'll be great. It'll be great to see Georgia and Notre Dame play in Athens. Although the first time they played, frankly, you look around the stadium, it looked like they were in Athens. But
right.
You know, it's still Notre Dame. But they're just not running the table this year.
I guess we've got like 20 seconds left, Dory, so got to be quick. But it's just because of the way they're losing when they get on the big stage, will that somehow alter? I guess the question is, would that alter the College Football Playoff Committee's feelings about them and another undefeated team next year if it came down to it? It could.
And I think that's fair. But they are really – hey, they keep putting OU in and we keep losing. Like, they're really good about looking at a team as it stands in that season.
Right.
So I think they'll do their job.
Hey, man, appreciate you as always. Be safe. Good to talk with you, Dory. Take care.
Hey, you guys are fun, man. Have a great show.
It's Dory Noka from SEC Network and ESPN. Always fun to catch up. If you're not familiar, they're on the opposite sides of the Red River rivalry, are Carl and Dory. Hey, man, we got a game winner for you. Marta's got a train which is stuck right there at the airport, screwing everything up. They got to get a crane, a big one, to fix it and get the thing out of there.
Yes, they do.
Thank God this isn't happening during Super Bowl week. Or will it? Something that needs to be improved. Something about our city. We got 3 weeks to get it fixed, Carl, before the visitors roll in. What would you want to see fixed?
We got to get these potholes fixed up, all right? We got to put on our best face for the Super Bowl. It's tonight's game winner.
How would you improve the city in 3 weeks' time? 404-741-0929.
Today's question.
All right, Carl, 3 weeks away and then some from the Super Bowl. What do we got to get right before everyone starts showing up?
There's a lot of things, man. I mean, first of all, we got to get this train off the tracks to MARTA on the way to the airport. Now, I know
a very big crane is on its way.
I know they're working on that. But
you know who's working on it?
Who's that?
Top people.
What people do you have working on it?
Top people.
Seriously, how do we put on our best face for the world at the world's biggest event that's going to happen in our city?
I'm with you. Potholes, man. Take that trolley, melt it down, and fill the potholes with it. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, so, hey, one, 50 potholes, first off, and then two, make this MARTA be on time, please.
On time?
That's all we ask for.
Now, we know they have the ability to put extra trains out there, right? Extra.
Well, after what we saw today, maybe not.
Okay. Put extra, extra trains have to be running.
Yes, especially east to west. You know, when you're sitting there at Five Points and you want to get to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you need to fix in the city in the next 3 weeks?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I would like to try to fix, you know, try to be nice to the Saints and Patriots fans when they come to town.
Okay,
man.
I'm done with
try
you.
To keep trying there.
He said Saints and Patriots fans. I'm done.
That conversation is over. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's going to get improved? What do you say?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
One thing we absolutely have to fix, man, when we've got the number one sports show and we've got people like Bob Costas, now Michael's coming to town, we can't have some guy calling the station going, "What's happening, Chief?"
Now, again, if you're new to the show, we have folks who take umbrage with other callers on their attempts at humor in this segment.
Yeah, and they go at each other.
Yeah. Let's see if the other dude can get through today. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What would you like to improve in Atlanta? Let's make Atlanta great. Not again, just great.
I'm glad you said that.
Very simple. Just, if I want to go to an establishment, let's say at 9 a.m. on a Sunday and have a cold beer and start off that Super Bowl day right, me.
Ring that bell, Carl Dukes. Ring that bell.
Well, listen, I mean, they did change the laws this last election, if you're not aware, in some areas.
Right.
The Sunday brunch can now start a little bit earlier. So I don't know if that's going to be an issue.
Yeah. I mean, there are some days, though, when they roll into Publix, you know, you want to get your brew on.
True.
You want to get
true,
a six-pack.
I don't know if they're going to change the rules for that for one week.
I'm going to tailgate. I need my cold ones, man. Thank you. You're on the radio, bro. What would you try to – well, we hung up. What would you try to improve about the city in the next 3 weeks? What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
To piggyback off my heathen brother for the heathen populace, all the clubs need to stay open at 6 a.m. and that water fountain at Olympic Park, turn that water off and make sure that shoot some Hey Man L.
That'd be sweet.
Dance, have your children dancing in fountains of beer. Wouldn't that be fun?
Now, they did pass the ordinance, I guess, for the week of the Super Bowl. Mike Conti was talking about it. A couple of strip clubs got together.
Magic City and the Cheetah.
Let me rephrase it. A couple of entertainment establishments got together, Mike. And
right on.
They're not going to close till what, 4 a.m.?
Yeah, and they're going to be open on Sunday. Normally, if you're in Fulton County, now there's a place called the Pony over there, which is open on Sundays. But now the other places get to get their thing going there. Not that I'd know.
Listen, we just pass on the information, guys.
Right on. News you can use. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got? Things the city could do better in the next 3 weeks.
Get it fixed!
What's up, Mike and Carl? How you guys doing?
Hey, man.
What's going on?
Hey, not much, not much. Find a place for the homeless.
Yeah, it's no joke. It's tough.
Well, what are we going to do? Like load up buses and take them to shelter? What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, just for the week, you give them a one-way ticket down to Miami. Other cities have done that before. New York and Philly have pulled that one off.
And then what happens?
Well, some will make their way home, and some will stay down there and find it more enjoyable.
Yeah, you know what? Never mind.
No, I mean, it's a definite issue here. I mean, we don't want to crack wise on the mental illness side of it, but there are some
folks,
you know, we get them a one-way ticket.
Get on this bus, and well, we're just driving.
Hey, this is the bus to Disney World. And
just trust us.
And they roll down there.
Come on.
Other cities have pulled this move. You're on the radio. Oh, he hung up, too. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What would you like to see improved in the next 3 weeks?
That's you.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, man.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, guys. I'm sorry about that. Hey, it's really, man, fix the dang Falcons. This is supposed to be their year in our city.
I know, brother. I know. Believe me. You know, Carl and I, we had a vested interest in this. We put some big money in Vegas on these guys at 16-1. Hey, no joke.
Yeah. My warrior spirit has been damaged a little bit.
I know. Hopefully we will fight through. The Brotherhood of the Falcon fans is struggling right now. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy boy. What would you try to fix the next 3 weeks here in the city?
Let's go with $5 beers and $10 lap dances.
Well, I think you could find that somewhere.
Oh, I do too. I think that's going to be possible for
your
you.
Your mileage may vary.
If
but
that's
you
your dream,
that.
Sir, you can live it.
I can't speak to the former, but I can definitely address the latter. You're on your radio, buddy. What do you want to see improved here in the city?
The lap dances?
Shut up. <you.
laughs> Hey, man. Talk
hey, man.
To us.
What you got? Okay, we're going to work on your phone skills. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, man.
Oh, I hung up on you. Sorry, too. I've got a quick trigger finger. You're on the radio, pal. What do you got for us? Things you'd like to see improved.
Hey, all the litter bugs, round them up and put them in the stockades.
Yeah, man. Take the time. There's garbage cans every other block. Don't be that guy.
Listen,
take your wrapper. And you know, and by the way, clean up after your dog, too, if you're living here in the city,
you
man.
Know what? I kind of feel like we sound like our moms right now.
We do.
Hey, we got guests coming.
Right.
You guys need to get on this now.
Now, again, if you see a Saints fan behind you, then don't pick up after your dog. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Let's make Atlanta great again. Free lap dances for everybody.
No, again, sir, that's just not applicable, please.
Is it at least buy one, get one free?
Again, sometimes there are certain songs where it is two for one.
Okay.
But again,
and by the way, why are all the songs short? That's just my observation. I've heard things like that happen.
Hey, man. Yeah, so... why are you playing an Elvis record? Hey, man, you're on
just
the radio. You're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mike, Carl, look at here.
Yes, sir.
That homeless problem y'all talking about, look, you can't get rid of all them people from New Orleans. I guess, what, you going to take them all back to New Orleans? I mean, you just be homeless down there, too? Look here. Everything's going to be right with the city as long as strawberries over there at the Blue Flame. And white chocolates over there at Magic City, everything's going to be great. Roll damn tight.
Right on. You know, I think they know it's
wait,
funny.
Wait, Mike. I didn't know Strawberry was now at the Blue Flame.
Hey, Bob Rathbun here. That's news to me. She used to work with Midori. They were roommates.
I had no idea.
Anyway, one thing for sure, our listeners certainly are degenerates, at least here in the last segment of the show.
Yeah, no doubt about it. By the way, why can't you get a table dance of like Planet Rock or something like that? I mean, like a 12-minute
what do you
song.
Want in your Stairway to Heaven?
We'll clear our throats and tell you what's coming on the show tomorrow.
Now, up another show, so it's time for... Let me clear my throat.
Thanks to Dari Noka from SEC Network stopping by the program today. Andy Bunker's got a full show coming up. What you got working?
Well, there's a lot to talk about. The transfer portal is still, it's working overtime.
The
so
portal!
We got to talk about the portal. You guys saw what the Hawks did last night. You were there. I know that.
Yeah.
I heard you guys talking about that earlier. We're going to get into that in the 7 o'clock hour because every time the Hawks win, there's a couple different reactions. Even when it's exciting and fun like last night, people don't want them to. But I think we might have to get past that because they're going to. They're better than that, I think, at this point. I think they've proven that.
Mm.
So whether or not you're believing in it, and if you're believing in Travis Schlenk. So we'll get into that in the 7 o'clock hour.
You know what the over-under was to start the season? 24 and a half?
Yeah.
Right.
They're going to get there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're
no,
gonna
no,
get
no,
there.
No. Please. That's crazy talk.
I know.
They're going
to
get there.
But that's to your point. That's the reaction.
Now, they had 12 wins at the exact halfway point. So
no,
they were
on
the way to 24.
But they may trade a guy like Leonard. They trade a Baze. You know, there's a couple guys you want to get off the page.
Mike, why are you running people out of here?
Because we got to get to Zion or RJ.
All right. Andy Buck is coming up, and Mike is right. All right. Sam Charlie, clear your throat, man.
Better start keeping an eye on Cam Reddish, the third Duke guy there. That might be the guy who drops to us. But anyways, you got to start respecting James Harden. I know Carl doesn't like James Harden too
prove
much.
Prove it in the playoffs, Pimp.
17 consecutive 30-point games, which is the most since the NBA-ABA merger. The only person who's got more is Wilt Chamberlain, who had 20 consecutive in 1964. He's had three games of over 50 points. He's averaging 34, 9, and 6. He's your front runner for MVP, and you got to appreciate him a little bit more.
Who won it last year, MVP?
He did.
Exactly!
Back to back, Carl.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.